Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, amigos. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. Welcome back, friend. You know, it's a telling thing you're here with me tonight. I figure there are two types of listeners out there. Ones that want to find out what happens to Jeff and Randy's dicks. And, other types of people. But you guys are my favorite. You know that, right? Chester's Wade's biggest fan. He's been champing at the bit all week. So come on in, friend. We're on a timer here too, you know. All right. Hey, check out simplyscarypodcast.com, would you? For as little as $7.99 a month, you can become a patron and enjoy their entire catalog dating back to 2012. All ad-free and available to download or stream. Just click the patrons link and join the club. Hey, you got $5 left over? Check out patreon.com/drewblood. Well, when we last left you, Jeff and Randy were in the emergency room with one dick left between them, and they're about to learn about Seth Coker's little mass mail-in program. And once again, since I am such a responsible, buttoned-up company man, here's your content warning. Chester? Thank you, Chester. So, without further delay, I give you, from author Wade H. Garrett, part 2 of How to Catch a Predator. As Randy, Jeff, and Max sat in the emergency room watching the news, a reporter came on the TV.
I've just received a video from Seth Coker and will be playing it to our audience. Please keep in mind the opinions in this video do not reflect the opinions of Goodwin Broadcasting or our affiliates.
When the video began, the opening scene showed the same type of doll sent to numerous child molesters with the caption that read, "How shit is made." The next scene showed a small factory with people operating different types of machinery. All the workers donned orange jumpsuits with "Sexual Predator" printed on the back. A steel collar encompassed their necks, and a chain ran between each person's leg to their workstation. Between the workers' restraints and their poor working conditions, it appeared the people were being forced to work in a sweatshop. The video then showed a woman pouring melted plastic into molds as a male voice narrated the manufacturing process. The next worker was opening molds and removing doll parts, such as torsos, heads, legs, and arms, while another person trimmed and sanded the parts. At another workstation, the video showed a worker making latex pocket pussies and pocket anuses. The video moved across the room to where a worker was soldering circuit boards while another person installed the electronics, mechanical parts, and pocket pussies and pocket anuses into the torsos of the dolls. A third worker was installing sensors and speakers into the heads. The video then changed to a long table where numerous people were attaching the arms, legs, and heads to the torsos. After the dolls were assembled, they moved to another area where workers attached a toe tag with the recipient's name. And depending on the recipient's sexual preference, the tag was affixed to either a girl or a boy doll. At the next workstation, some of the dolls were being painted a different skin tone while others were outfitted with bonnets and BDSM masks. The dolls were then tested at a quality control area before being packed into shipping boxes with the recipient's personalized set of instructions that also included a detailed account of their sexual assault against a child, and in some cases, multiple children. The camera panned out, showing the entire factory floor. Then on the closing scene, Seth walked into the video wearing a white lab coat, safety glasses, and a yellow hard hat.
Child molesters are a plague to our society. Our judicial system fails to protect our children while the human rights advocates fight for the rights of these predators. Child molesters are even a protected people under the Hate Crimes Act. And a small portion of our society is also attempting to reclassify the term child molester to minor attracted people. To counteract this absurd movement of protecting these sexual predators, I've sent 28,471 dolls to the homes of convicted child molesters across the country. These dolls have been equipped with a chemical that will eliminate their male reproductive organ so they can't victimize future children.
Seth held up a doll.
These dolls were purposefully crafted to appear young in nature to ensure only child molesters would engage in sexual intercourse with them. If someone received one who isn't a child molester but still had sex with it, then you're a special kind of pervert who also deserves to lose your means to reproduce. Once a doll has been latched onto its predator, all attempts to remove it will result in a penectomy. Leaving the doll in place will also result in a penectomy. In the end, a penectomy is inevitable. There are almost 800,000 registered sex offenders in the United States. Due to the cost of manufacturing and shipping, unfortunately, only a small portion of these perverts received a doll. And even that was a daunting undertaking. I personally handpicked these parasites, primarily basing my decision on their victim's age and the surrounding circumstances. I could have euthanized these predators, but I thought it would be more entertaining to see them humiliated in front of the world while making an example out of them to the rest of the child molesters.
As Seth concluded his speech, a man in an orange jumpsuit began sneaking up behind him with a large wrench. Without pausing his speech or flinching, Seth held up a remote control and pressed a button. The collar around the man's neck exploded, and his head rolled across the floor. Blood squirted from his neck as his lifeless body plunged to the floor like a felled tree. Seth approached the camera.
"Remember, perverts, I have eyes everywhere and will be watching you."
He motioned toward all the workers with his hand.
"Made by child molesters for child molesters. This is how shit is made."
Flabbergasted, Max shook his head as the video ended.
"What a fucking asshole. I can't believe the news actually played that bullshit."
Randy boiled with anger as he watched the ending credits.
"That was insulting as fuck. I can't believe the news is helping him spread his hate."
Still sullen over the loss of his penis, Jeff displayed a pouted expression as he slouched in his wheelchair.
"I don't understand why the police can't catch his ass. The prick should have been locked up behind bars a long time ago."
Irritated, Mac glanced at Jeff.
"It's because they don't give a shit."
"I know. And because of their incompetence, my life has been destroyed."
"It'll be fine, man. The doctors can give you a transplant from an organ donor."
A small amount of relief came over him.
"Are you being serious? Can they do that?"
Mac nodded.
"Yeah, it's a new procedure in the U.S. They just have to match up your blood type and skin color."
"Well, that's good to know."
"And I say, who cares about skin color as long as your cock is bigger than what you had?"
The thought of having a larger penis excited him.
"I'm going to talk to the doctors about that."
Randy's eyes narrowed as he stared at his phone.
This is fucking bullshit.
Jeff and Mac glanced over at him and spoke at the same time.
Now what?
He turned his phone so they could see it.
Seth released the pictures of everyone who received the doll with a description of what they did.
Jeff noticed the screen displayed Randy's mugshot.
Oh shit, am I on there too? What website are you on?
I haven't looked for your name yet, but it's called Predators Gone Wild. I think that asshole made this shit.
Jeff quickly found the website, and when he saw his picture with the accompanying write-up, anger engulfed him.
What a fucking prick! He has no right putting my personal information on the web.
His anger intensified as he read the detailed account of his sexual assault involving the 5-year-old boy.
I was falsely accused of that shit, and now everyone's gonna believe I actually did it.
Randy frowned as he read about himself impregnating his 12-year-old niece.
I know, man. This dude fucked us good. Now everywhere we go, people are gonna think we're child molesters.
I can't believe this shit. This motherfucker listed my address, where I was born, what high school I went to, and he says I'm a freeloading scumbag living off government handouts.
A look of frustration came over Mac as he read his description on the Predators Gone Wild website.
The fucker wrote I'm an Uber driver working here in Jacksonville. He even described my car and listed the license plate number. How in the fuck am I supposed to make a living now with this shit out there?
Emotionally broken, Jeff fell into a melancholy state as he began rolling his wheelchair toward the exit. Randy quickly rolled up next to him.
Hold up, bro. Where are you going?
He paused for a moment.
I've lost everything and no one cares.
That's not true. Me and Mac care. And we've already told you the doctors can give you a prosthetic or a transplant.
I don't want a fake dick or someone else's dick. I want my dick. But that's not going to happen because the police don't give a shit.
He glared at the TV as it displayed a man being chased by a mob.
That fucker's already destroyed my life, but I don't have to sit here and watch that garbage on the news any longer.
He glanced around the room as all the dolls wailed child molester.
And these dolls are getting on my fucking nerves. I can't listen to this shit anymore.
He took off out the exit. Mac rolled up next to Randy.
Where is he going? I think he's having a mental breakdown or something.
I'm sure he is. This is a fucked up situation. Never in a million years would I have thought I'd be sitting in the ER with my dick stuck inside this evil-ass doll.
Randy started to respond, but a doctor came out into the waiting area and yelled over the sound of the dolls.
Can I get everyone's attention?
All the men in the room became quiet as a nurse turned down the volume on the TV.
I'm Dr. Stokes. I have good news and bad news. I'll start with the bad news first. We haven't been able to find a way to remove the dolls without causing severe damage to the male reproductive organ.
Someone in the group blurted out,
Are you talking about our dicks?
Yes.
Random men began asking questions.
Why can't you remove them without causing damage?
Unfortunately, the dolls are equipped with a defense mechanism that injects formaldehyde into the penis. This organic compound destroys living tissue. The damage is irreversible and will result in a penectomy.
What a tomecopy!
It's the surgical removal of the penis.
A gasping sound engulfed the room, followed by a man exclaiming,
You're a doctor! You guys are supposed to be smart. I can't believe you can't find a way to remove them.
We have a team of medical specialists, including mechanical and electrical engineers, examining some of the dolls that have been separated from its person.
Separated from the person? Does that mean you've been able to remove some of the dolls?
These were unsuccessful separation attempts. Unfortunately, these men had to undergo a penectomy due to formaldehyde contamination of their penises.
How many men have lost their penis so far?
13.
Everyone became upset and started speaking at the same time. Half of the men were asking questions while the other half suggested ways to remove the dolls. The doctor held up his hands, indicating for everyone to calm down.
I'll explain what we have found so far. We have disassembled and studied all the dolls that have been removed. During our examination, we discovered that the internal layout of their electrical and mechanical components differentiate. We have also found there are randomly placed pressure sensors that detect drilling and cutting, or any kind of disassembly of their external casing. If any of these pressure sensors are triggered, the defense mechanism is activated, resulting in the formaldehyde being injected into the penis. If all the dolls were built to the same specifications, we could bore a hole at a predetermined location or use a surgical microscope to disassemble them. The random placement of the internal components is an obvious design feature to prevent us from doing this type of procedure. The dolls are also equipped with sensors that detect X-rays, magnetic resonance imaging, ultrasounds, infrared, CT, and CAT scans. And if any of these imaging devices are detected, the defense mechanism is activated. So this prevents us from seeing their internal layout. We've also attempted to go into the opening between the doll and penis and cut the needles, but the needles are part of a closed electrical circuit. When any of the needles are severed, it activates the defense mechanism. We've also tried to gain access by cutting through the latex insert, but there's an embedded steel mesh that also triggers the defense mechanism. The dolls are also equipped with sensors that detect temperature, moisture, impacts, vibration, and radiation, and even proximity sensors that prevent the dolls from being concealed. At this point, we have not determined a safe way to remove the dolls, so for now, everyone will have to leave them in place. Fortunately, the dolls do allow urination through a tube that exits the mouth, so there is no concern for urinary retention. A man yelled out,
"What about an EMP blast? That might disable the circuits."
We have already subjected some of the dolls to a burst of electromagnetic energy, but the electronics are shielded, and the test triggered the defense mechanism.
Another man sarcastically popped off.
"You said there's good news. What the fuck is it?"
As long as we leave the dolls in place, no one's life is in danger. But there is a health risk if the formaldehyde is injected into the penis and it gets into the bloodstream. If the defense mechanism is triggered, you need to alert a nurse so we can perform an emergency penectomy as soon as possible. In the meantime, I need everyone to relocate to a holding area until we can find a solution to safely deactivate the dolls.
Randy raised his hand.
Yes. What about the countdown timers?
We still have plenty of time.
I'm already past the 4-hour mark.
Like I said, you still have plenty of time.
The timers are set between 12 hours to 5 days. Mine is set between 4 hours and 3 days.
How did you determine that, sir?
It's listed on my schematic diagram.
I need to verify that. Do you have the schematics with you?
Randy pointed at a nurse standing off to the side.
I gave it to her.
Dr. Stokes glanced at the nurse.
Do you have it?
She nonchalantly strolled over to a trash can and retrieved it, then handed it to the doctor.
Sorry, I thought they were all the same.
The doctor held it up as he regarded Randy.
I'm going to take this to the team that's assessing the dolls.
As the doctor walked away, Randy observed two paramedics as they pushed an injured man on a gurney across the waiting room through a set of double doors. Glimpsing the man had red hair and a white beard, a feeling of dread came over him as he quickly rolled up to the same nurse who threw away his schematics.
I think that was my friend on the stretcher. Can you go check to see if it was him or not? His name is Jeff Blackmore.
She glanced at his doll as it wailed child molester, then frowned as she walked away.
Hey, I was talking to you.
A Hispanic man with a doll in his lap came rolling up in a wheelchair.
Yo, homie, that dude you came in here with just got hit by a bus.
Are you sure it was him?
Yeah, red mohawk, white beard, has a smurf tattoo on his neck.
Oh shit, that was him? How in the fuck did he get hit by a bus?
I was outside smoking a cigarette when I saw the shit go down. The dude rolled his wheelchair right in front of it, and it looked like he did it on purpose.
Thanks for letting me know.
Randy quickly rolled up to the reception desk.
My friend just got hit by a bus. Can you go check on him for me?
What is his name?
Jeff Blackmore.
Mac pulled up next to Randy.
What's going on, man?
Jeff just got hit by a bus.
Is he all right?
I don't know. They just brought him in here.
How in the hell did he get hit by a bus?
Some dude told me he saw it happen. Said it looked like Jeff did it on purpose.
I knew he was upset, but I didn't think he was suicidal.
I didn't think he was either.
About that time, a fat man lunged from his wheelchair as his doll began counting down from 20.
Oh my God! What's happening?
Thinking it was a bomb, everyone backed away from him as his doll counted 18, 17, 16, 15. In a panic, the fat man scurried to the reception desk.
Please go get a doctor!
The receptionist lunged from her chair and quickly disappeared through a door. As his doll counted 12, 11, 10, 9, he ran back to the center of the room and exclaimed,
Will someone please help me?
Half of the men leaped from their wheelchairs and took off running as others crashed their wheelchairs into each other as they desperately tried to get away from the blast zone. When the doll yelled,
Time's up!
The man fell to his knees as a horrific pain engulfed his penis.
Oh, fuck! I think it injected my dick with the formaldehyde!
As everyone watched in horror, several doctors helped the man back to his wheelchair, then rushed him through a set of double doors. Several minutes later, Dr. Stokes came into the waiting area.
I need everyone to listen up. We originally thought the timers were set at a minimum of 12 hours, but after receiving the documentation,
he motioned toward Randy,
provided by this man, some of the timers do have a setting of 4 hours to 3 days. This is what happened to the individual that was just taken back to the operating room. His timer went off and the formaldehyde injection system was activated.
Randy raised his hand.
Yes.
Do you know how my friend is doing? He was hit by a bus and taken into the back just a few minutes ago.
I'm sorry, I don't. I've been too preoccupied with the situation.
Another man raised his hand.
Go ahead.
What's going to happen to the guy that had his timer go off?
He's currently undergoing an emergency penectomy due to formaldehyde contamination.
Everyone became upset and began asking questions at the same time. Dr. Stokes raised his hands, indicating for everyone to calm down.
At this point in time, everyone needs to make a choice. You can continue waiting to see if we can find a way to safely remove the dolls, or move forward with a penectomy. If you decide to wait, you are at risk of formaldehyde getting into your bloodstream, which can be fatal.
A man blurted out,
If I have my dick cut off, can it be reattached later if you guys find a way to remove it from the doll?
Unfortunately, the dolls have a pulse monitor that will activate the formaldehyde injection system when the blood flow to the penis is interrupted. At that point, the tissue is destroyed and the organ is no longer viable.
As everyone became upset, Randy raised his hand.
There might be another option.
What is it?
Since the dolls count down from 20, couldn't we wait until that happens before we have our penis cut off?
There's no way we can perform a penectomy in 20 seconds. And keep in mind, the dolls are designed with different variables. And the 20-second countdown might not be the same for everyone. Some of the dolls could have a shorter duration.
I know you guys wouldn't have time to do the surgery, but we could do it ourselves. That way it buys us more time.
A black man with a white doll spoke up.
No one gonna cut off my shit.
He glared at Randy.
I'd rather die as a man than be a dickless motherfucker.
I don't want to lose my dick either, but I also don't want to die. So I'm gonna wait as long as I can, and if my timer does go off, I'm gonna do what it takes to survive.
A fat man with an Asian doll perched in his lap glared at Randy.
I'm not cutting off my dick, asshole. And the doctors aren't going to do it either, so keep your idiotic ideas to yourself.
Randy noticed the man's doll kept repeating the phrase,
猥亵儿童者.
Being aggravated by the man's rude behavior, he popped off in a sarcastic tone.
What the fuck is your doll saying? The same shit yours is saying. And I'm not a child molester if that's what you're thinking. My roommate did this to me while I was passed out drunk as a joke. But I can see you're into fucking little kids. You even put a sex mask on your doll.
I didn't put the mask on it or fuck it.
Knowing his excuse of accidentally getting his dick stuck inside it didn't sound believable, he opted to come up with a different lie.
My girlfriend is real kinky. She stuck the doll on me when I was tied up and blindfolded. It latched onto me before I even knew what was going on.
After reviewing several of the schematic diagrams, Dr. Stokes knew the dolls wouldn't latch onto the penis unless the man ejaculated, meaning all the men in the room had sexual intercourse with their doll.
"Gentlemen, we don't have time for this."
The fat man laughed as he glared at Randy.
"That sounds like a load of horseshit. Everyone knows you fucked the doll. You even look like a child molester."
Randy's eyes narrowed in anger.
"You're just mad because everyone knows you like to fuck little Asian boys."
Aggravation swept over Dr. Stokes.
"You two need to act like adults or leave. We have a serious problem we're trying to deal with, and we don't have time for the name-calling."
The fat man lowered his head.
"Sorry, sir."
The doctor eyed Randy.
"And I cannot recommend you cutting off your own penis."
"Why not?
You could bleed to death or get a severe infection."
"But I'm willing to risk it if it gives me a chance to keep my penis."
The doctor addressed everyone in the room.
"I cannot support this course of action as a viable option."
Suddenly, the Asian doll began yelling,
"Shi, jiao, ba."
In a panic, the fat man lunged from his wheelchair.
"Oh, shit! Does anyone know Chinese? Is it counting down?"
"Qi, liu, wu."
"How long do I have?"
"Si, san, er."
Horror-stricken, he glared at the doctor as he held onto his doll.
"Please help me."
"Yi, shi jian dao, Li."
When the doll said time's up, the sound of a motor humming echoed out as a stinging sensation emanated from the man's penis.
"Oh my God! I think it just injected my dick with the formaldehyde!"
Dr. Stokes motioned to several nurses.
"Get this man back to the OR!"
As they dragged him away, the doctor addressed everyone in the room.
"As you can see, this is a time-sensitive situation. Each of you need to make a decision as soon as possible. We have a team of surgeons waiting, and the procedure is fairly straightforward. Since time is of the essence, we'll also be utilizing a local anesthetic instead of employing general anesthesia. Same as when getting a vasectomy."
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
While Randy sat in the waiting room, he watched as nurses rolled one man at a time through a set of double doors. A look of horror hung from their faces as they were being taken to an operating room for an emergency penectomy. As the men were being hauled away, porters were bringing men out of the double doors after receiving the procedure. As these men were being taken to the patient pickup and drop-off area outside, Randy noticed they not only wore traumatized expressions, but some of them were sobbing. Refusing to undergo a penectomy, Randy and Mac gathered with other like-minded men in the waiting room. These men included Darnell, the black man with the white doll, Billy, a brawny man with a large beard and a doll dressed in a baby bonnet, and Johnny, a slender crackhead with a brown-skinned doll. Their game plan was simple: to hold out as long as possible in hopes the doctors could find a way to disable the dolls. In the event that one of their timers did go off, they planned on using Billy's hunting knife to sever their own penis to prevent formaldehyde poisoning. To Randy's surprise, a porter came out of the double doors pushing Jeff in a wheelchair.
"Hey, Jeff! Over here!"
The porter rolled him over to Randy and his group, then sauntered away. Randy noticed Jeff's left leg and his right arm were in a cast. A bandage concealed his head, and scrapes, bruises, and gashes covered his face. His left eye was swollen shut, lips inflamed, and several of his front teeth were missing.
"Damn, bro, are you all right?"
With some of his front teeth missing, Jeff now spoke with a lisp.
"Do I fucking look all right?"
"Hey, man, I've been worried about you. I've been trying to get an update from the nurses, but they're a bunch of bitches."
He didn't respond as he slouched in his chair with a sullen expression.
What the hell happened, dude?
I don't want to talk about it.
I know you're upset about your penis, but you can still live a happy life. If you start to feel depressed again, just talk to me.
What the hell are you insinuating?
Nothing.
Anger swept over him.
I didn't try to kill myself, if that's what the fuck you're thinking.
I'm not.
I just didn't see the fucking bust.
Okay, man, I believe you.
Bitterness consumed Jeff, and secretly he wanted to see Randy have his penis cut off.
I heard the doctors are cutting off everyone's dick cut. They can't find a way to remove the doll.
Yeah, man, some crazy shit happened while you were gone. Several dudes had their timers go off and their dicks got injected with the formaldehyde, so the doctors are giving everyone a penectomy.
When are they coming to get you?
They're not. We're all holding out until the last minute.
Jeff studied the group of men as they parked close together in a circle with their backs facing each other. Facing outwards prevented the porters and nurses from accessing the push handles on their wheelchairs. Their formation reminded Jeff of wagon trains from the 1800s that formed a circle to ward off an Indian attack. In this situation, instead of defending themselves from Indians with bow and arrows, they were protecting themselves from doctors with scalpels. Jeff didn't care about Randy's well-being, and out of jealousy, he wanted him to lose his penis too.
You're gambling with your life, man. If the formaldehyde gets into your bloodstream, you could die.
I know. That's why we're planning on cutting off our own dick if the timer does go off.
That's fucking stupid.
You won't be saying that if our plan works.
The thought of Randy getting to keep his penis angered him.
I heard they gave up on trying to find a way to disable the Dolph, so you might want to consider getting in line.
Who did you hear that from?
I overheard some nurses talking about it.
Bullshit.
An aggravated expression came over Johnny, the crackhead with the brown-skinned doll.
I hope you're mistaken, dude. Go ask him if you don't believe me. I will.
Johnny left the group, and as he argued with the nurse at the reception desk, Randy noticed a porter came out of the double doors pushing a fat man in a wheelchair.
See that fat fucker?
Jeff nodded.
Yeah, what about him?
He's one of the dudes who got his dick injected. He's also a cocky motherfucker who said he wasn't going to have his shit cut off.
Still annoyed by the man's rude comments from earlier, Randy laughed as he shouted,
Hey, man! How's it hanging?
The man grabbed the wheels of his wheelchair and forced it to a stop.
What the fuck did you just say to me, asshole? I thought you weren't going to have your dick cut off. Keep laughing, you red-headed creep. Your turn is coming.
Speaking of creepy, where's your little Asian boy?
Fuck you, dude.
He glared at the porter.
Get me the fuck out of here before I kill that bastard.
See you later, dickless.
As the porter pushed the man outside, Jeff eyed Randy with a troubled expression.
Damn, dude, that was harsh.
That guy's a fucking prick and deserved it.
Seeing Randy making fun of the man enraged him.
That shit wasn't funny, dude.
Why do you give a shit?
Because I know what he's going through, and ain't nothing funny about it. And frankly, I find it offensive.
That had nothing to do with you, bro. And I don't think what happened to you is funny. I was just trying to piss him off since he was running his mouth earlier.
You still have your dick, so you have no right making those kind of comments.
Wow, dude, you sure took that the wrong way.
Suddenly, Darnell's doll began counting down from 30. Originally, Darnell, the black man with the white doll, declared he'd rather die as a man than be a dickless motherfucker. Now, with an impending doom hovering over him, panic set in.
Oh, shit. What the fuck am I going to do?
Billy, the burly man with a large beard, pulled his hunting knife from its sheath and handed it to him.
You got to cut off your dick before the timer gets to zero.
Darnell lunged from his wheelchair, and as he supported his doll with one hand while holding the knife with the other, his body trembled as he displayed a grimace of terror.
I don't think I can do it. Mm-mm.
Everyone in his group began yelling for him to do it as the doll counted 19, 18, 17. As his hand shook, he moved the knife close to the base of his penis.
I can't do it. 15,
14, 13, Out of desperation, he began stabbing the doll in the chest. 10, 9, 11, 2, 8. After the doll wailed out a series of random numbers, it then emitted an electrical buzzing sound right before going silent. A huge relief washed over Darnell.
Oh, shit. I think I killed the fucker.
Randy couldn't believe his eyes as he sat on the edge of his wheelchair.
Holy shit, man. You did it. You figured out a way to disable them.
Billy reached out.
Give me back my knife. I'm doing my next.
About the time Darnell handed the knife away, a burning sensation erupted from his penis.
Oh, fuck. There's something wrong. My dick is getting hard.
Randy recalled how his penis was burned after dunking his doll in the water.
Oh, shit. I think you activated the heating elements.
What the hell is that?
It's part of the doll's defense mechanism, but it only lasts a short time.
Darnell exhibited a terrified expression.
Are you sure, man? It's starting to burn really bad.
Yeah, for me it only lasted just a few minutes.
Suddenly, Darnell's doll erupted into a fireball, covering the front of his body with flames. The fire not only burned the front of his torso, but as he held onto his doll, the flames scorched his hands and arms. Then, to his horror, the outer shell of his doll disintegrated, covering his hands in molten plastic. In a panic, he began frantically stumbling around the waiting room while wailing in agony. As the flames intensified, melted plastic not only scorched his crotch, but began running down the front of his legs. During the chaos, he tripped over Jeff, knocking him out of his wheelchair, slathering melted plastic all over his body in the process. Finally, a security guard rushed over to Darnell with the fire extinguisher as he rolled around on the floor and extinguished the flames. Experiencing an overwhelming amount of pain, Darnell lay on his back and moaned in agony as the heated plastic continued to burn his flesh. As Randy and Mac helped Jeff back to his wheelchair, an angered expression hung from Jeff's face.
I can't believe that shit just happened.
Randy nodded in agreement.
I know, man. Darnell must have stabbed the battery or something and caused it to explode.
I'm not talking about that shit. He got hot plastic all over me.
Randy observed white plastic covered parts of Jeff's face, neck, and left arm.
Dude, that was an accident.
I don't give a shit. Hasn't enough bullshit already happened to me?
Yeah, man, you've been through a lot.
When the bulk of his pain subsided, Darnell scrambled to his knees and began frantically examining himself. First, he noticed his hands were covered in white plastic. He tried to move his fingers, but the plastic became stiff after it cooled down, leaving him with a permanently affixed and rigid pair of gloves. Then, to his dismay, he observed a layer of hardened plastic covering his crotch. He began frantically rubbing his plastic-coated crotch with his plastic-covered fingers as he desperately tried to locate his genitals.
Oh my God, where am I fucking dick?
Randy noticed a smooth, flat layer of plastic cover Darnell's crotch. It reminded him of a Ken doll, since Ken dolls don't possess a penis.
Your dick is probably just under the plastic.
Darnell exhibited a look of trepidation as he examined himself.
Oh, shit. I think it got burned off.
In a panic, he began rummaging through a pile of melted plastic and metal components lying on the floor. As he examined the remnants of his doll, he saw a charred piece of meat lying in the remains.
Oh, shit. I found my dick.
Hearing of the incident, Dr. Stokes and two nurses approached Darnell. Dr. Stokes immediately spotted the white plastic covering Darnell's crotch, hands, and the front of his legs. The skin around the plastic, inflamed and bright red, displayed severe blistering where the molten plastic scorched his flesh.
Sir, we need to get you to an exam room and address your burns.
Darnell glanced up at the doctor as he sat on his knees next to the remnants of his doll.
What about my penis? Can it be reattached?
Dr. Stokes observed the charred piece of flesh intermingled in the pile of melted plastic and mechanical components. Even though the organ was destroyed, he knew the importance of hope.
We'll see, but for now we need to focus on your burns.
Darnell scooped up the remnant of his doll with his plastic-covered hands, then hobbled away with the nurses. Dr. Stokes then glared at the group of men who refused to undergo a penectomy.
That was unnecessary what happened to that man, and could have been avoided. Now he has third-degree burns and will be spending months undergoing skin grafts and fighting infections. And for what? He still lost his penis. I cannot allow this rebellious type of behavior to continue. It's not only dangerous to yourself, but it also puts my staff at risk. If you're not willing to receive the necessary medical treatment to prevent this type of incident, then you need to leave the hospital.
Shocked by the doctor's demand, Randy's eyes narrowed.
What are you saying? If I don't get my dick cut off, I have to leave? Yes. You're not only putting yourself in danger, but you're also putting everyone around you at risk, including innocent bystanders and my staff.
He glanced at Jeff, observing the plastic stuck to his skin.
We need to take you back to an exam room and address those burns.
He moved his focus back to Randy. You have the right to choose what you think is best regarding your health care, but when your conduct adversely affects others, such as what happened to Mr. Blackmore, I cannot allow you to stay in my hospital. Becoming frustrated, Randy grumbled.
You've already made that clear.
Jeff eyed Randy with a look of dismay.
Yeah, this shit's your fault.
He raised his right arm, displaying his cast.
Including this.
Hold up, dude. It's not my fault you tried to off yourself.
Fuck if it isn't. You're the one who wanted to walk here. And because of that, I got my fucking dick ripped off by that fat bitch.
You're not going to blame me for that shit, and you're the one who wanted to go to the hospital in the first place.
To break up the argument, Dr. Stokes motioned toward Jeff as he regarded a nurse. Take Mr. Blackmore to an exam room. As she pushed him away, Jeff glared back at Randy.
You better not be in my apartment when I get there.
Don't worry, I won't.
About the time he finished his comment, Randy's doll began counting down from 20. As terror completely engulfed him, he lunged from his wheelchair.
Oh, shit! This can't be happening!
As he stood horror-stricken while supporting his doll, he peered at Dr. Stokes with a look of apprehension.
Please do something, man!
Jeff grabbed the wheels of his wheelchair, stopping it, then eyed the nurse.
Hold up! I want to see this shit!
He spun around so he could watch Randy lose his dick, something he longed for out of jealousy. Dr. Stokes motioned for everyone to move away from Randy.
Everyone needs to get back in case the doll erupts into flames.
Randy's eyes grew huge as saucers.
Flames? Oh, fuck. Do you think that's going to happen?
Being proactive, Jacob Henry, the security guard, rushed over with the fire extinguisher.
Don't worry, bud. If it happens, I'll put it out.
Being a retired U.S. Marine, Jacob usually found his shift boring as he watched sick people come and go while counting the minutes. Seeing a room full of perverts getting their dicks injected with formaldehyde, dolls bursting into flames, and Seth Coker's comical video made the evening exciting. Jacob wasn't a sadist, a person who takes pleasure in watching or inflicting pain, punishment, or humiliation on others. He simply lacked compassion for child molesters due to being a father of three young children. Billy held his knife out toward Randy.
You have to do it, man.
I can't. I thought I could, but I can't.
Jeff barked out with delight.
You said you were going to cut your shit off. So be a man and do it before it's too late. You're going to lose your dick either way.
As Randy's doll called out number 5, he fell to his knees as a petrifying sense of terror completely overtook him.
Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening.
When his doll yelled out, "Time's up," it made a buzzing sound. Then a puff of smoke bellowed out from its mouth and ears. With no ensuing explosion or fire, Dr. Stokes motioned toward Randy as he regarded a nurse.
Get him to a surgical room, stat. We need to remove his penis before the formaldehyde has a chance to get into his bloodstream.
Randy wept as a nurse escorted him to an operating room for a penectomy. With his jealousy subsiding, Jeff eyed Randy as nurses pushed them down a hallway in wheelchairs.
Hey, man, I changed my mind. You can stay at my apartment as long as you want.
Randy remained silent as the nurse rolled him into a surgical room.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Early the next morning, when the hospital released Jeff, he tried to locate Randy, but he wasn't in the waiting room or outside. Assuming Randy still might be in a recovery room, he asked a receptionist and a couple of nurses about his whereabouts, but they refused to disclose any information due to privacy rules. Not knowing how long it would be before Randy was released, he decided to take a taxi home. When he hobbled through the front door on crutches, he found Randy in the kitchen making breakfast.
Dude, when did you get here?
They let me go last night.
Well, I didn't know where you were at, and no one would tell me if you were still in the hospital or not. I would have called you, but my phone went dead.
It's all good, man.
He held up a frying pan with eggs.
You want some?
No, my stomach is acting up.
Jeff eased down in a chair.
How did the surgery go?
I don't want to talk about it.
I know how you feel, bro.
Randy studied Jeff's injuries. A fractured leg and arm, face and head covered with scrapes, bruises, and gashes, swollen left eye, inflamed lips, and missing front teeth.
How are you feeling?
They gave me some pain meds at the hospital, so I feel pretty damn good.
What did they give you?
Well, I'm not sure, but I'm high as fuck right now.
Do you have any extra? I need something to help me relax.
Hell no. They wouldn't give me a prescription or any extra to take home.
That fucking sucks.
Didn't they give you some since you had surgery?
No, they said for me to take over-the-counter shit like Tylenol.
Fucking dopehead to run it for everyone.
Especially if you don't have insurance like me.
What happened to Mac and those other guys?
Not sure, but I did overhear a nurse talking about it. Apparently their timers went off shortly after we were taken back to our rooms, but I don't know the outcome. When I left the hospital, I tried to call Mac for a ride, but he didn't answer. I also texted him a few times, but he didn't respond.
He seemed like a happy-go-lucky dude. I'm sure he's just trying to process what happened.
Yeah, that was some fucked up shit.
Yeah, it was. And it's been a long night.
Exhausted and buzzing from the pain meds, Jeff arose from his chair.
I'm going to take a nap.
I'll probably crash too after I clean up the kitchen.
Later that evening, around 6 p.m., and with his pain meds now worn off, Jeff sat on the couch in a state of dismay while Randy lounged in a recliner. The previous day, the day they received the dolls, would be a day they would never forget, changing their lives forever. Inundated with anxiety and depression, Jeff experienced an agglomeration of emotions ranging from grief, sadness, to anger. But he did find some solace in knowing Randy lost his penis too. As the saying goes, misery loves company, meaning people who are suffering and miserable find comfort in knowing others are also suffering and miserable. Randy didn't exhibit the same sorrow Jeff possessed as he surfed the internet for child porn on his cell phone. Observing Randy's relaxed disposition, Jeff concluded he must be in a state of denial.
Are you okay, man?
Yeah, just reading some articles.
What kind of articles?
Randy lowered his phone.
About penis transplants and stuff.
After the wound in Jeff's crotch healed, the doctors were planning on transplanting his second toe as a penis. The procedure would involve removing the bone structure from the toe and replacing it with a urethra from a cadaver.
The doctor wanted to use one of my middle toes to make me a dick.
Yeah, they want to do the same thing to me.
And they're not even going to use my big toe. They said I need it for balance. I also asked about getting a transplant from an organ donor, but they said Medicaid doesn't cover that procedure, so I have to pay for it myself.
You can save up for it.
It's like $100,000. Man, when the fuck am I ever going to come up with that much?
You'll figure it out, man.
So basically, I used to come up with $100,000 now, or have a toe as a fucking dick.
That's a lot of freaking money, dude. So you really don't have a choice but to go with the toe option.
I know, and that fucking sucks.
Yeah, but it's still better than not having a dick.
I guess. And you're in the same boat.
You'll have to go with the toe transplant too until you can save up $100,000.
I'm not sweating it. I know everything will work out one way or another.
Anger swept over Jeff as he thought about it.
I can't believe the bastard did this to us. I hope the police catch his ass and he gets the needle for it.
Don't get your hopes up, man. They've been after him for years.
Yeah, but he really crossed the line this time.
You know the police don't give a shit about common folk like us. Even the media doesn't give a shit. They're still playing this how shit is made video.
I know. It's pissing me off. And that's why I'm staying off the damn internet.
We just need to lay low until all this blows over.
I agree.
Still having balls, Jeff wondered if he'd be able to ejaculate with a transplanted toe used as a penis.
Once we get the transplant, do you think it'll be the same?
What do you mean?
Do you think we'll have any feeling in it?
I don't know.
Or do you think it'll get hard?
I don't know the answer to that either, homie.
Becoming emotional, Jeff began sobbing.
It's bad enough death took our penises. But the worst part is, he fucking humiliated us in front of the whole world. Now everyone would think we're child molesters. And no one give a shit that he robbed us of everything. They think it's funny. And every time I squat like a bitch to piss, I want to kill myself.
It'll be all right, man. We'll look back at this one day and laugh. You just need to take it one day at a time, bro.
Jeff observed Randy didn't seem as troubled with their situation.
Why aren't you more upset?
I am, dude. Just dealing with it in my own way.
About that time, something struck the front door as someone shouted,
"Go to hell, perverts!"
Another person wailed,
"Had it hanging, you dickless fucks!"
Jeff's eyes opened wide.
"What the fuck was that?"
An angered expression came over Randy.
"That's like the fifth time that's happened today."
"What are you talking about?"
"I never went to bed, and while you were sleeping, people have been yelling shit like that all day."
He marched to the front door and jerked it open, then looked around.
"They better fucking run."
"Are you serious? People have been yelling shit like that?"
"Hell yeah."
He reached down and picked up a doll.
"Motherfuckers have been leaving dolls at our door."
He shut the door, then tossed the doll in the cardboard box with some other dolls.
"What the fuck, man? We need to call the cops."
"They ain't gonna do shit."
"But that's harassment."
"Do you really want to explain to the cops why they're doing it to us? We've already been humiliated enough."
"You're right, man. But what the fuck are we gonna do?"
"Nothing.
It'll blow over in a few days."
"What if it doesn't?"
"Then we'll move."
"Move? Do you know how hard it is to get into Dictonate housing? I had to wait almost a year for this place."
"Then we'll just have to deal with it."
Randy strolled into the bathroom and shut the door. Curious, Jeff hobbled over to the box of dolls on his crutches, then began rummaging through it. The dolls were different types and sizes, ranging from Barbie dolls, rag dolls, porcelain dolls, to cheap dollar store dolls. As he dug through the box, he spotted the torso of a black doll. Its head, arms, and legs were missing. In white lettering, someone wrote his name across his chest. He picked up the torso to examine it. Then confusion swept over him when he noticed a piece of meat covered in dried blood slightly protruded from its anus. Then horror came over him when he realized it was his severed penis. Consumed with an array of emotions, he quickly hobbled over to the bathroom and opened the door.
"Randy, my fucking doll was in the..."
Jeff lost his train of thought when he noticed Randy standing at the toilet urinating.
"How are you standing?"
He spotted something that appeared to be a penis in Randy's hand.
"And what is that?"
Randy quickly turned his back to Jeff.
"What the fuck, man? Don't you know how to fucking knock?"
He repeated his question.
"How are you standing? And what were you holding? Did the doctors already give you a transplant?"
Yeah. It's one of my toes."
"Why didn't you tell me you already got the procedure?"
Randy pulled up his sweatpants and faced Jeff.
"I was too embarrassed."
"I have a million questions about that, but..."
He held up the torso.
"I found this in the box. It's my fucking doll."
He rotated it so Randy could see the bottom.
and my dick is still in it.
A look of bewilderment came over him.
Are you sure that's yours?
It's got my name written on it.
With the video of Jeff having his penis pulled off still trending on social media, Randy assumed it was a prank.
That doesn't mean shit. Someone might have made that just to screw with you.
I don't know, man. It looks like one of Seth's dolls.
Randy took the torso and began examining it closer. When he observed needles were holding the piece of flesh inside a pocket anus, disbelief swept over him.
Oh, shit. It is one of Seth's dolls.
I told you.
But that still doesn't mean it's yours. I'm sure you're not the only one who had a black boy doll.
A small ray of hope lifted Jeff's spirits.
But it could be. And if it is, the doctor might be able to reattach my penis.
Even if it is yours, it's been way too long and probably already decomposing.
I'm going to go to the hospital to be sure. Do you want to come with me?
No, man. I can't go out in public right now.
With the possibility that his penis could be reattached, he speculated Randy was being jealous.
That's fine, man.
Jeff quickly hobbled to the kitchen on his crutches, grabbed a styrofoam ice chest, tossed the torso of the doll inside it, then began covering it with ice. Randy leapt up and sat on a countertop.
Why are you doing that?
To help preserve it.
But it's already been exposed to the heat for like 2 days.
It's only been 1 day, and it's been cold outside.
Only like 60 degrees, and that's just at night.
Stop being so damn negative.
Randy searched the internet for how long amputated limbs could last without being on ice.
The internet says a severed finger must be reattached within 12 hours if not refrigerated. Maybe with the weather being cooler at nighttime, there's still a chance they could reattach it.
Then he came across an article of a man whose penis was reattached successfully after 24 hours.
And this article says a dude cut off his own dick during a psychotic episode and the doctors were able to reattach it after 24 hours. And it wasn't refrigerated or on ice.
He glanced at Jeff.
Damn, homie, you might get your dick back.
With excitement welling up inside him, Jeff hobbled to the front door with the ice chest. Before he walked out, he paused and glanced back at Randy.
If they can reattach it, I probably won't be back until tomorrow. Or maybe the next day.
Just text me and keep me updated.
Will do.
2 hours later, as Randy relaxed in a bubble bath, someone knocked on the bathroom door. Startled, he exclaimed,
Who's there?
It's me, Jeff. Can I come in?
Sure, man. I'm just in the tub.
When Jeff came into the bathroom, Randy observed his solemn expression, knowing he didn't receive good news at the hospital.
That was fast.
They couldn't reattach it.
Because it was in the heat too long?
No, it was injected with formaldehyde.
Randy remembered Dr. Stokes' comment.
Shit, dude. The doctor did say if the penis is severed, the doll still injects the formaldehyde to prevent it from being reattached. I'm sorry, man.
Sinking deeper into a depressive state, Jeff plopped down on the toilet lid while exhibiting a gloomy and melancholic expression.
I just want to kill myself.
Don't say that. Everything will work out. For now, the doctors will use one of your toes. And when you save up enough money, you'll be able to get a penis from an organ donor.
Thinking a larger penis would cheer him up, Randy added,
And you might get a bigger dick, especially if the dude is black.
And who gives a shit about skin color as long as your shit hangs like an elephant trunk? I would be looking forward to that shit if I was you.
I know, man. I just got my hopes up.
As Jeff wallowed in self-pity, confusion came over him when he observed Randy's feet as they were resting on the edge of the tub.
What the fuck, man? You lied to me!
What the hell are you talking about?
You got all your toes!
At that moment, Randy realized he made a mistake and quickly shoved his feet under the bubbles. Knowing Jeff would be upset, Randy didn't want to tell him when his doll made the buzzing sound back at the hospital, its circuitry had shorted out. The formaldehyde injection system did not activate, and the doctors were able to safely remove his penis from the doll. Outside of the 7 puncture holes from the needles, the minor burns he received from dunking his doll in the water, and a small tear from falling down the stairs, his penis was expected to fully heal within a few weeks.
I didn't want to tell you, but the doctors gave me a rubber dick. It's just temporary until I can get a toe transplanted.
You lying motherfucker! I don't know how in the fuck you did it, but you still got your dick!
Over the last 24 hours, Jeff endured an emotional roller coaster ride. The overwhelming amount of stress finally took its toll, transforming his sadness, disappointment, and anguish into rage. Becoming disconnected from reality, Jeff arose from the toilet while displaying a disconcerted expression. Randy felt uncomfortable as Jeff stood over him while remaining silent.
What the fuck are you doing, man? Why are you staring at me?
Jeff didn't respond as a clouded sensorium overtook his mind.
You're starting to creep me out, dude.
Without saying a word, Jeff limped out of the bathroom without using his crutches.
What the hell, man? You're gonna fuck up your leg.
Frightened by Jeff's bizarre behavior, Randy sat up in the tub, worrying his roommate might be having a mental breakdown. A moment later, Jeff came back into the bathroom. A feeling of dread fell upon Randy when he observed Jeff's hollow eyes and blank expression.
What the fuck are you doing, man?
He noticed Jeff was holding his left arm behind his back as he approached him.
What the fuck are you hiding behind your back?
Jeff didn't say a word as he unveiled a large kitchen knife.
Hold up, man!
To his horror, Jeff thrust the knife downward toward his head using a reverse grip. Randy's fight-or-flight response prompted him to lunge to the side. The blade missed his head, but it did cut a gash into his shoulder before becoming lodged into the side of the acrylic bathtub. As Jeff struggled to dislodge the knife, Randy leapt from the water butt naked and hightailed it out of the bathroom. In a panic, he ran to his bedroom, slammed the door closed, and slid the dresser in front of it. As his heart pounded and his body trembled, he could hear Jeff's footsteps. A moment later, Jeff tried to open the door, but Randy stood steadfast as he shoved his body against the dresser.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Jeff? You fucking cut me, you fat fuck!
In a calm voice, Jeff replied,
Let me in!
Fuck you, dude! And I've already called the cops, so you better take off before they get here!
Speaking in a calm voice, as if nothing was wrong, he responded,
No, you didn't. Your phone is in the bathroom.
After suffering extreme depression combined with crippling anxiety, and now experiencing a mental breakdown, Jeff longed for death. In his delusional state of mind, he planned on killing Randy before taking his own life.
I'm sorry for cutting you. I was just upset. Please open the door. I just want to talk.
You're fucking crazy, dude. I'm not letting you in here.
In a fit of rage, Jeff began kicking the door.
Let me in, you red-headed prick!
Terror-stricken, Randy held the dresser tightly against the door.
That's not happening!
All of a sudden, Jeff stopped thrashing at the door and it became quiet. A moment later, Randy began to hear the faint sound of cutting, chopping, and sawing. He listened closer, detecting it sounded like cardboard was being cut.
What the fuck are you up to?
He didn't respond.
I'm not coming out, so you might as well stop whatever you're doing.
He still didn't respond. Randy started to grab some clothes and get dressed, but a knife blade came slicing through the wall next to the door. At that moment, he realized it wasn't cardboard being cut, but the drywall on the other side of the wall. With Jeff now inside the stud cavity, Randy watched in horror as the blade moved back and forth, sawing through the inside layer of drywall. In a panic, he quickly rushed around his room looking for a weapon. The only thing he could find was a pair of nunchucks he stole from a kid. Now armed, he watched with trepidation as the blade cut through the drywall. Instead of cutting out a large section of the wall, Jeff cut out a round circle about the size of a paper plate, then peered through the hole.
I can see your ass.
I'll bash in your fucking head if you try to come in here.
Randy executed a figure-eight move with the nunchucks. Jeff's eyes narrowed as he watched Randy perform the move while nude.
Those are made of foam, dumbass.
Knowing they were indeed made of foam, he continued with his charade.
No, they're not. This is a different pair.
Okay, bring a kid's toy to a knife fight then.
Jeff began kicking and punching holes in the drywall. Randy rushed to a window and opened it. As he sat on the window ledge, he eyed the ground below, knowing a three-story fall would most likely result in broken bones. But that would be better than being stabbed to death, he concluded. While he waited until the last moment to make his leap, he could hear people outside laughing and making comments about him being nude while hanging out a window. Consumed with anger, Jeff obliterated the drywall as he forced himself through the stud cavity. Randy started to make his jump, but paused when he noticed Jeff seemed to be having difficulty getting through the wall. Realizing Jeff's legs were entangled in electrical wire, as his overweight body appeared to be stuck between the studs, he rushed to the door, shoved the dresser to the side, then bolted out the room.
You're fucking dead!
Frightened, Randy ran to the other side of the couch, then grabbed a leg lamp from the table. The lamp's base incorporated a woman's leg wearing a fishnet stocking, and on top sat a fringe shade. It was also the same type of lamp seen in the 1983 movie A Christmas Story, and Jeff's prized possession. Holding the leg by the foot with the shade still attached, Randy raised it like a baseball bat.
I'll crack your fucking skull if you come near me!
Jeff's eyes narrowed as he stood on the opposite side of the couch.
You better not break my lamp, asshole!
Then don't come near me!
He shrugged his shoulders.
Fuck it! I'm not gonna be around to enjoy it anyway!
Jeff began pursuing Randy around the couch. Nude and still brandishing the lamp, Randy maintained his distance while keeping the piece of furniture between them.
Why are you doing this, man? I'm trying to fix everything!
What the fuck does that mean?
Life fucking sucks, and there's no place in this world for guys like us.
What the hell are you talking about, Jeff?
I can give us peace.
I don't want to fucking die if that's what you're talking about.
I'll make it quick and painless, I promise.
You're fucking nuts, dude.
A blank expression came over Jeff as he glared at Randy with piercing eyes.
Stop running.
No, I'm not going to let you do it, asshole. If you want to kill yourself, do it, but leave me out of your psychotic meltdown.
Ignoring the pain in his leg, he began hobbling at a faster pace.
You're not going to catch me, you fat fuck.
To Randy's horror, Jeff leapt up on the couch and began crawling over it like a wild animal charging after its prey. But with his arm also in a cast, he wound up falling to the floor, landing on his back. Without hesitating, Randy rushed out the front door. Being butt naked, he held the lamp in front of his crotch as he scurried down the staircase. About halfway down the first set of stairs, Jeff came out of the apartment and began chasing after him. To Randy's apprehension, he spotted three black men sitting on the second flight of stairs. They were the same men he came across the day before with his doll. It felt like deja vu as he mumbled to himself.
Oh, fuck me, not again.
One of the men laughed when he spotted Randy's nude body, red dreadlocks, red mustache, pale skin, and leg lamp.
What the fuck? Check out this motherfucker!
Another man exclaimed.
Aw, shit! It's the same dude from yesterday!
A third man added.
I heard he got his dick ripped off because they fucked that doll.
Randy paused when he approached him.
The dude behind me is the one who got his dick ripped off. And I didn't fuck the doll.
He turned sideways so they could see the bloody gash in his shoulder.
He's trying to kill me. Can you call the cops?
Hell no. We don't want the fucking pigs around here.
But he's got a knife.
Then your ass better get running, pervert.
Randy took off, and as laughter erupted behind him, he gritted his teeth in anger. When Jeff began heading down the second set of stairs, hopping on his good leg, the men noticed a white powder covered his hair, face, and clothes.
Check out this motherfucker. Look like someone rolled his fat ass around in flour.
Another man laughed.
Ha, yeah. Probably the naked dude with the creepy lamp. Ha, ha.
The third man shook his head.
Sick motherfuckers. They probably buttering each other up and shit.
Jeff sported a don't-give-a-shit expression as he approached them.
Shut the fuck up, you fucking jackals.
Who the fuck you calling a jackal?
Jeff brandished his large kitchen knife.
Three dead motherfuckers if they don't get the fuck out my way!
As Randy hid behind the dumpster, he saw the three black men come barreling from the last staircase. A moment later, Jeff came limping into the parking area and began looking around.
Where in the fuck are you, asshole?
Randy crouched down and remained quiet, and as he hid, he heard Jeff ask someone if they saw a naked dude with a plastic leg. Then he heard a kid's voice, followed by Jeff saying thanks. Randy peeked around the side of the dumpster, finding Jeff headed in his direction. Knowing Jeff couldn't catch him with his leg in the cast, he began walking backwards as he taunted him.
"You're going to prison for this shit, you fat fuck!"
Jeff didn't say a word as he marched toward him with a death stare.
"You know this is stupid as fuck, right? And someone has probably already called the cops."
As the two men acted like buffoons, a mob of people quickly formed and began following them. Humiliation swept over Randy when he observed the majority of the people were recording the spectacle with their phones. This was 2 days in a row now that he found himself in a fucked up situation while being followed by a mob of people. Out of desperation, he took off jogging while holding the lamp in front of his crotch. Jeff approached an obese man sitting on a mobility scooter and brandished his knife.
"Get the fuck out, fat ass!"
To Randy's dismay, Jeff was now pursuing him on the scooter.
"This shit can't be happening,"
grumbled Randy as he trotted down a sidewalk while being tailed by Jeff, who was being followed by a mob of people. A few minutes later, a police car arrived. Relief washed over Randy as he trotted up to him as he huffed and puffed from being out of shape.
"Thank God you're here. The crazy fucker on the scooter is trying to kill me."
The officer, a Hispanic man with a large mustache, displayed a look of disbelief as he observed the bizarre display of a nude man with a leg lamp being chased by a fat man on a mobility scooter. To make it worse, both men exhibited peculiar appearances, with Randy's red dreadlocks, red mustache, and pallor skin, along with Jeff's red faux hawk hairdo, long gray beard, facial piercings, and large ear gauges. The officer pulled out his taser and pointed it at Randy.
"Drop that fucking weapon, boy!"
Randy slid to a stop.
"Don't shoot! I don't have a weapon!" "The fucking lamp! Drop it! Then get your ass on the ground!"
Randy tossed the lamp on the asphalt, breaking it into several pieces. Then he got on his stomach.
"Okay, man, go easy!"
A high-pitched cry echoed out from down the street.
"You stupid fuck! You broke my lamp!"
Furious that Randy destroyed his prized possession, Jeff aimed the scooter at him like a missile.
"I'm gonna fucking kill you, asshole!"
The officer's gaze fixed on Jeff as he sped down the street on the scooter. Mistakenly perceiving Jeff as a threat, the officer swiftly deployed his taser, shooting two electrodes in Jeff's direction. The barbs embedded in Jeff's face, provoking his body to violently thrash around on the scooter. The scooter veered at the last second, missing Randy, and slammed into the rear of the police car, hurtling Jeff through the air. He crashed into the rear window, shattering it, and landed into the back seat. The officer snatched Randy up by his ear.
"Get your ass up, dipshit!"
Randy clutched the officer's arm to reduce the pressure on his ear.
"What the fuck, man? This is police brutality!"
He jerked the rear door open, shoved Randy on top of Jeff, then sped away. On the 10 o'clock news, several of the local news stations aired the video of Jeff chasing Randy down the street on the scooter. But that wasn't the hot topic. After being arrested, the two men never arrived at the police station, and the identity of the arresting officer was unknown. The next morning, the police department released a report stating someone imitating a police officer abducted Randy Moore and Jeffrey Blackmore. Seth Coker was a suspect. Within mere seconds, the intense heat ruthlessly incinerated his mustache and eyebrows. Around 4 minutes later, they both came rushing out of their bedroom as the dolls hung from their crotches. Angered, Randy kicked Jeff's doll in the head, triggering an electrical shock. On the staircase, Randy lost his footing and tripped. On the staircase, Randy lost his footing and tripped. His paper bag just...
To make the situation worse, the doll's defense mechanism activated and began shocking. About that time, a shoe came flying through the air and struck Randy in the face. To Jeff's confusion, the woman took off with his doll and quickly disappeared in the crowd. Their formation reminded Jeff of wagon trains from the 1800s. Suddenly, Darnell's doll erupted into a fireball, covering the
fuck.
As Randy and Mac helped Jeff back to his wheelchair, an angered expression hung from Jeff's face. Randy noticed a smooth, flat layer of plastic covered Darnell's crotch. In a panic, he began rummaging through a pile of melted plastic. After the wound in Jeff's crotch healed, the doctors were planning on transplanting his second toe as a penis. Randy executed a figure-eight move with the nunchucks. Knowing they were indeed made of foam, he continued with his shirt. Jeff aimed the scooter at him like a missile. He crashed into the rear window.
That was How to Catch a Predator by Wade H. Garrett. A good reminder that we can all come together and enjoy torturing bad guys. Wade Garrett for president. There, I said it. Here's a little info about the wild man himself. My pal Wade H. Garrett is an American novelist specializing in the extreme horror and supernatural horror genres, and he primarily writes about vigilante justice and tales of retribution. Wade's books are extreme, and if you enjoyed this one, you'll also love Wade's seven-book series, A Glimpse into Hell, available on Kindle, paperback, and Audible, many of which are narrated by yours truly. With more to come. Also worth mentioning, his book, Insane Bastards Reloaded, a sprawling rewrite of his popular book, Insane Bastards, will be released this Halloween and is available for pre-order. Grab it today and you'll automatically have a huge discount on the audiobook, which I'm in the process of recording right now. You won't want to miss this one, I promise you. Well, hey, a big thank you to Wade H. Garrett.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit simplyscarypodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at chillingtalesfordarknights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend. I'm going to need to recoup a little after these past couple of weeks.
That was Malta McAfee's in 2 episodes than in the last 8 seasons combined. Shit.
So, may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Hey, I'll be back next week with yet another lighthearted feel-good tale of terror. Until then, y'all, go fuck yourselves.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.